Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. It'll come as no surprise to anyone who's ever poked around the World Wide Web that there's a lot of information available online. It will also hopefully come as no surprise that a lot of it is bunk. Uninformed opinion, entertaining but inaccurate views of almost any subject under the sun, and a huge collection of facts that turn out to be anything but facts upon closer inspection. So what's a person to do if we're interested in finding information that represents what we currently think to be true? Science, as we know, can never completely prove something to be absolutely true. In the strictest sense, science can only prove ideas to be false, because there could always be something new around the corner that makes our current best idea of what's true turn out to be false. The famous case of the Black Swan, and we don't mean the movie, is a case in point. For hundreds of years, we thought that the proposition, "all swans are white," was a true statement. Then a black swan turned up. At any rate, in science, as in other realms of human life, we do our best to go with the best evidence available and try to make sense out of it. And, believe it or not, the internet can be very useful in that endeavor. So today, let's take a look at some good places to start if you're interested in finding the most accurate scientific information that we have available to us at present. A good place to start, and a wonderful use of our taxpayer dollars, is at www.science.gov. As its address implies, it's a site run by the federal government and provides access to scientific information generated with our tax dollars by 14 different federal agencies. Science.gov offers access to 45 databases, over 2,000 websites, and over 200,000 pages of useful information. If a user knows what he or she is looking for, there's a simple search box. But if a user just wants to browse, there are 10 top-level categories to explore, such as agriculture and food, health and medicine, earth and ocean sciences, and so on. Another site run by the federal government is www.data.gov. As its name implies, it provides access to raw data gathered by federal agencies so that people can run their own analysis of that data. The site also supplies access to many different types of tools that allow people to slice and dice the data in many different ways. In addition, some people have made up their own applications to sift the data. There are over 230 of these to date, and many of the so-called mashups we see on the web these days are based on the data made available through government agencies, from maps of where crimes occur, to hospital outpatient visit records, to where the U.S. makes overseas loans and grants. If you're someone who likes to work with numbers or to go right to the source and draw your own conclusions, drop by data.gov and see what you think. But suppose you want more than data, and you'd like someone other than the government to offer insights about scientific problems and solutions. You may want to take a look at sites like popsci.com or cosmosmagazine.com. The former is a web service of popular science, which has been at it for 130 years. Cosmos has, as its tagline, "the science of everything." It's an Australian science magazine site. Both are written in a semi-breezy style, but still contain solid information. Maybe you've gotten beyond wanting to hear about science and would actually like to do some yourself, but for one reason or another, you're not able to go out in the field and count birds or take water samples. You can still participate through sites like zooniverse.org, where there are a number of actual science projects underway that you can help with in one way or another, from analyzing old weather reports to exploring how galaxies merge. Almost 350,000 people are already participating in real science on this site run by the Citizen Science Alliance. If you aren't in a position to actually participate in science activities on the web, there's still another option. You can actually help fund science experiments. It's no secret that there are many, many worthy science investigations that don't get funded by federal agencies. and that situation is likely to get worse in the present economic and political climate. So what are the options for scientists who need funds to conduct their research and don't come up winners in the highly competitive federal grant system? Well, one option is to go right to individual people like you and me and make their argument about why their projects are worthy of funding. If the scientist's proposal seems to have merit, we, or anyone, can pledge $50 or $100 or whatever we want to make the project go. If the needed amount is raised in the allotted time, the project goes on. If not, the money is generally returned. Sites like EurekaFund.org, FundScience.org, and SciFlies.org all offer folks the opportunity to take an active part in funding research in areas that they think are important, but that don't garner the kind of support that will lead to large federal grants. Take a peek and see what you think. And by the way, don't worry if you're driving or chasing little ones around the breakfast table or holding a power saw and couldn't write all these internet addresses down. They'll be on the WERU website at www.weru.org in the audio archives. Just click on the Public Affairs Audio Archives link and then scroll down and click on Notes from the Electronic Cottage and then choose today's date. You'll not only find this program that you can listen to again or even download if you like, you'll also find a list of all these links if you'd like to explore them further, and in fact, all of WERU's former Electronic Cottage programs. And while you're there, consider helping to fund something else that isn't strictly science, but that still provides you with information you don't hear anywhere else. And that, of course, is WERU itself. The station needs to raise some additional funds by the end of the year to break even, and we are the ones who can make that happen. Please consider making an end-of-the-year pledge. And of course, please also consider tuning in for future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.